Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another broadcast of The Zone. I am your host, Minister Miracle, and in this broadcast, we will talk about the glass-like room in the Storm Warning Dream. The dream that I shared with you the last broadcast, and we went over, you know, we went over how, what the dream, what was about the dream, and what the dream meant, and then we went into the tornado part of the dream when I shared with you about the tornadoes having, you know, forming, and then forming our feet and legs and arms and attacking the people. And I shared with you that as we were running for protection from these tornadoes that were out to destroy whoever they could get a hold of, I went into this glass room where other people were at. And I shared with you that even though I was in the glass room and these other people thought they were safe, and I thought I was safe in there, that the tornadoes were targeting individuals, and as I shared with you, that they would destroy them. So we're going to go into a little bit of what that meant from the dream. So I'll share with you about that heart of the dream and get a better understanding of what that glass-like room meant in the dream. In the dream, I ran into a transparent glass room and there were other people inside. I thought that if I got in this room where other people were, I would escape and be free from the deadly tornado. I shared that with you. And when I got in the room, tornadoes would come up to the glass and target individuals and go through the glass and suck them up, and they would be destroyed. Now, of course, I got out of there because I realized this was not the safe place I thought would be. So now the question has to be asked in the dream, is there a why is there a transparent glass that is really not safe? Well, here is some very interesting points about glass. Glass, as we know, is a very common in our society. It's used in a lot of items that are used today. And glass is breakable and most is transparent. But I believe the most important is that it's man-made. And when you look at it that way, then the glass room starts to make sense. Man-made religion, man trying to serve God their way, live any way you want to be a member of a church and shake the preacher's hand and give a little money and you're okay. Live any way you want, because you are part of the church of man-made glass, looks so good, feels just right, but yet is so vulnerable and breakable. And so when the storms come, they will run to their glass man-made religious churches, and they will think they will be safe from destruction, but destruction will come upon them, and they will not escape. How interesting that that part of the dream, as the Holy Spirit was sharing with me what it meant, made so much more sense. So many people say they're Christian, and I'm not going to say nobody isn't, but Christian means Christ-like. It means to follow in the example of what Jesus Christ did while he was on this earth. And so many people, you know, they have the tag Christian, but they don't even know what it means. And it's really sad that leadership has really failed in this area. And like I said before, people, you know, many think that if you go to a church, you attend it and you become a member of it, you know, you're a Christian. But there's more to this than that. And so many people are, you know, thinking that because they attend this church or this building and, you know, go there faithfully every Sunday and give some money and shake the preacher's hand and sing a few songs, that That makes them a Christian. Well, let me tell you something, people. That's not the way this works. I believe there's 168 hours in a whole week, and we want to play church for 2 hours, and then, you know, other 166 hours live the way we want to live? I don't think that's the way the Holy Spirit of God intended it is. You know, and so many people are going through the motions thinking it's okay. And like I shared before to you all, it's not okay. You know, Jesus said, you will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is like unto itself, love your neighbor as yourself. With all these hang the laws and the commandments. There, you know, these two, that's it. And if we think, you know, just because we go to this church that, you know, is preaching the word of God, and they may have all good intentions, and they want to see people come to church and hear the word, and you know, they get involved, and they think that now, okay, well, I attend this church is the church, and if I'm here, I've got a good what I'm looking for, place in the church, and now everybody knows I go to this church, so I got to be saved, you know. No, and there's many do it, you know. There's people, you know, that on a Saturday night they go to the bars, you know, they go out partying, they go out doing whatever they want to do, you know, living the life they want to live, and they get ready for church Sunday morning, you know, thinking that they're doing God a big favor, you know. And the sad part is, they're weak, and there are people who are really need instruction in the Word of God. And it happens. It's happening. It happens. I know people like that who do that. You know, I'm not saying people aren't saved, don't get me wrong there, but their witness is ineffectual. I mean, it's hard to tell somebody you're a Christian and a disciple of Jesus Christ when you're in a bar. It's hard to witness and share the gospel when you got a bottle in your hand, or, you know, you're doing things that are worldly and trying to tell people you need to be set free by the power of Jesus Christ, and you're doing the same thing the world's doing. It don't work that way. And you've got so many different, people, you know, and some just have not been taught. And they continue thinking that, well, if I just go to church and do what I do, you know, I'm a Christian, and that's okay. And I told one time in a church, I said to them, I said, you know, I said, 168 hours in a week. I said, let's say for instance, we just give God 10 hours. I said, that's less than 10%. We're giving God less than 10% of our time. Just in fellowship with other, you know, in with brothers and sisters, and being, you know, in a, what they call a church. You know, so the question is, what are we doing the other 90? You know, you figure you're going to sleep 7 or 8 hours a day, and that's going to bring you to 56. So you got 66 hours, and still 168, that's still 50% of the time. So what are we doing in that 50% of the time? And so, you know, this really is a very important message to me, because so many people are playing church. And even the Lord told me, you know, I was doing all the things I shared with you, you know, associate pastor, working with senior citizens, working with Salvation Army, outreach ministry, evangelistic ministry, head of the Sunday school and educational ministry classes and Church of God in Christ at Prayer Tower in Toledo, Ohio. And God says, you're going through the motions, boy. And I'm thinking to myself, how can I be going through the motions when I'm so involved? The answer was very simple, because you're not doing what I called you to do. And so that's the question we have to ask ourselves. What are we called to do? And according to the word, we're supposed to be into the world. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to represent the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. Not church-like, Christ-like. And so, like I shared with you about this glass, man-made religion, You know, when the storm comes, it's gonna fall apart. Anything that's man-made, it's not gonna last. And man-made religion sure isn't gonna face the storm and survive. And those people that are in the man-made religion glass house are gonna go down with that religion because it's man-made. And that's so sad to know that that's going to take place. So we have to understand that we must stop going through the motions and stop playing church and live the life that we are called to live in Christ. So the question is, well, if man-made religion is going to falter in the storm, then what do I need? What do I need to get into? What do I need? And the answer is in Christ, the spiritual rock. In Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. In Psalms 18:2, a fortress, deliverer, strength, shield, horn of my salvation, stronghold. In Psalms 62:7, God is my salvation and the glory, and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Psalm 78:35, then remember that God was their rock and the Most High their Redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for they all drank from the miraculous rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. So man-made religion is not the answer. The only answer for this world and this generation is Jesus Christ. We all must repent and ask forgiveness of our sins and completely surrender to His love and to His will for our lives. And that's what it is all about. You know, like I shared before, that the Lord has given warnings, not just, you know, to me, to give to the body of Christ, but to others. And we have to awake out of our sleep, arise, and stand with full body armor on and soldiers of Christ. And only ones who are going to the front line are the ones who are battle tested and battle ready. And the sad part is, you got so many people who claim to be Christian, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to say if they are or not, but their witness is ineffectual. Their walk doesn't show the example of Christ. And their witness doesn't have what's needed for people to see Christ living in their lives. And the sad part is, like I said, so many people playing the game. And this game is not, you're not going to win it if you're not in the rock, which is Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing. I remember, you know, good 8 years ago, you know, people were doing things that I really felt were wrong. You know, and I brought it to the Lord's attention, and I said, God, they're getting away with it again. He said, no, they're not getting away with it again. They're getting away with it one last time. And I thought to myself, what does that mean, one last time? And it's like, you know, we are given opportunities to repent and ask forgiveness, but every day that we don't, every day that we're in rebellion, every day that we play games, every day that we're, you know, playing church, every day that we don't be an effectual witness is one less day we get to. And see, that's the beautiful thing about grace, because everybody talks about grace, but what people don't understand is when grace is applied to your life, something that you have no right to have in yourself, it's by God's love and God's favor upon your life that He's given you this grace. You know, it's not just for it. Now, the most part is salvation, and that's true, but there's something else to this. It's an opportunity, because when you're in sin, when you were sinning in the world, you didn't have the opportunity to be used by God, you know, with His word, you know, to help those in need. Now that you know Christ is your Savior and Lord, grace gives you the opportunity to be that witness, to allow Christ's light to shine through you, to be effectual in your walk with in Christ, and it also allows you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, and for the Word of God to be opened up so that it is alive to you. It's an opportunity that in sinners don't get, but those who know Christ or accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that grace that's applied in their life is not just for salvation, and salvation is the most important part of it, but it's also the opportunity to live it through the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God, and so other people can see Christ in you. And when people play games and play church, they don't understand. You know, it's just like, you know, people say, well, I just keep on doing what I'm doing. I keep sinning, or I keep doing and doing, and God forgives me, and God forgives me, and God forgives me. And yes, 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 He does. You know, if you truly repent and you really want to be forgiven and get away from what's holding you in bondage, or, you know, got you in chains, spiritual chains. But here's the thing you've got to see, is that what takes place is when you keep going over and over and over and over and over the same thing, what happens is that it's one less day, you know, if you're in sin, it's one less day, one less moment, one less second that you're in the perfect will of God. One less time that you could have been flowing in the Spirit and being directed by the Holy Spirit instead of getting caught or being trapped in your sin or trapped in that sin. I mean, you think about it, and it makes perfect sense. You know, because the day we were born and we move forward in this mortal body is one less day that we live coming to the end of this mortal life. So when we're not in, and we're in rebellion, and we're not following the ways of the Lord, and we're playing church, and we're doing man-made religion, we say, I'll just come to God and get it all right, and everything will be fine. That's true. When you ask forgiveness and repent, you know, it will be all fine. But here's the thing. You don't get back the days that you were in disobedience. You don't get back the days, you know, in other words, I'll be straight with you. The Lord told me I was very upset with what was going on, and I was angry with the Lord. And He told me, He said, you can continue on doing what you're doing and rebelling and being upset. You know, and then you may repent, realizing, you know, that you know, your mortality is coming to an end. And I will forgive you, and I can restore you. But all the people that you could have reached out to, all the people you could have prayed for that I had already ordained and called to be, you know, to be used, for my Spirit to be using through you, you know, when you're in your 50s or 40s or 30s or and you're in disobedience and you're in rebellion, you know, and you're not following me, all the people that I had in place in your life, you know, those days are gone. I can give you more time, but I'm not going to take you back from 50 back to 20. And you look back in the Scriptures, I can't find anyone. I mean, you may. I can't find anyone where God said, okay, now you're 80, you know, you know what, I'm gonna make you 30 and you know, give you and let you live from 30 on and go back again. I've seen it, you know, I've read it where He gave, you know, like Hezekiah, you know, more years, you know. But that's what I'm trying to say. That opportunity was wasted. And so people keep playing church. You know, the thing you hear, I hear, when people say, "Well, I'm gonna do a deathbed repentance. I'm gonna live the life I'm gonna live. I'm gonna, you know, do what I want to do. And at the last minute, I'm gonna give my life to Christ. And hello, and that's it." And some do it before that. And then it's like, oh my gosh, I just wasted 40 years. Why didn't I come to the Lord when, 40 years ago? And now I'm here, I'm 60 or 70 or 80, and I've only got a little bit of time. And God can use that person, don't get me wrong. But this is the time that they wasted, being in sin and living a life they wanted to, which ended up being, where they could have been walking in the grace of God and in the fullness of His holy presence, and but instead they went their own way and lived their life, and now it's all gone. And that's what it is with people who play the game. They think, okay, I'll just keep on, going to church, and I'll go through the motions, and I'll keep playing church, and I'll be fine and dandy, and I'll repent, and everything will be great. But the thing you don't understand is you lose that time that you had when you were in your rebellion or in your sin. Now, God's a God who can restore and give back, give time, give more time, but you're not going to go backward. You're going to move forward, repent, and go forward. But that time that you could have been in His presence, listening to the Holy Spirit or being used by Him for whatever He would have you do is gone. And that's why Jesus said, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, destroy. He steals when you're in sin and you're in rebellion. That moment's being stolen from you. And that's what grace does. Grace not only gives you the favor that you don't deserve to be forgiven, but gives you the opportunity. And so many people don't understand that. But I know it to be true, because without God's grace upon our life, without the blood of Jesus Christ, and being forgiven of our sins, and not being part of the family of God, we're disconnected. So if we're disconnected from God's ways and God's word, how can we be used by Him in the way that would bring forth glory and honor through His word? It's when that grace is applied in our life and the opportunity comes that He can pour more into us as we pour more out to others. And so this is something that is really makes a lot more sense to me now more than ever. And when the Holy Spirit revealed this to me, I understood what was being said. It's man-made religion. It's going through the motion. It's playing church. It's thinking that I can live the life any way I want to, all the 6 days, even the, and then Sunday morning I show up and I'm okay. And God's like saying, no, you're not okay. You're weak. You're not healthy and whole. Because there's chains of bondage that are holding you, in a place that you can't move in the fullness of my word and in the fullness of me. And like I said, there's others who don't want to even want to have that relationship with God, or don't want to come to a place of knowing that they have to give up this or give up that, lifestyle. And so they just close their eyes and continue just going to church and showing up and say, look, I belong to the church of this and that, and I'm a member, so that pastor is really in the word and all that. So because I'm there, I'm in good standing with the church. Well, I must be in good standing with God. The scripture says in Galatians, it says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that same shall he also reap. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap life everlasting. But if he sows to the flesh, well, corruption. So that's the question we must ask. Do we want to be part of the man-made religion, man-made glass religion? Or do we want to be on the rock, which is Christ? Do we want to be on a firm foundation when the storms come and the winds are blowing and everybody's falling by the wayside? Are we going to be the ones on the rock, which is Christ, and stand firm and have our sword hand in hand, full body, full armor on? standing in the power of the Lord and in the strength of his might? Because only those who are ready in Christ will be ready, and those who aren't ready will not be ready. So what do you think? What do you think about this part of just getting into this part of the message? There's another 8 pieces to the storm warning journey. And the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing more and more out of it. And so I would like to hear from you. What do you think about this? I mean, you get the tornadoes, you know, which are demonic activity, I truly believe. Just like it was, you know, with the Babylonians, you know, where they just destroy everything in sight. And that's what Jesus said. The thief comes not, but the kill, steal, destroy in the story. And then you got the issue or the situation or the topic about the man-made class, man-made religion. And anything that's man-made is not going to survive the storm. And I'll tell you one thing that people need to realize: charisma is a man-made religion. That's not ordained of God. That's a man-made religion. It's antichrist. And who's ever in it needs to run away from it. And shame on you, pastors and all you so-called pastors and leaders that are allowing that in your church. God said He'll give His glory to no one, and He's sure He's going to give His glory to something that's dead. There is no other God but Jehovah God. There is no other God but the Lord God. There is no other God. In the book of Psalms, it says, I am He. That's it. There is no other one. I am who I am. There are no other gods in the story. So when we start compromising and bringing Islam and Christ, Christianity together, this is totally unscriptural, and it's totally false, and it's an antichrist spirit, because God the Father said through Jesus Christ He would be glorified. No other way, no other thing. And it's sad when Christian leaders are saying, "Oh no, we've got to do this. You got to bring peace." You know, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. So what are you talking about, a sword? In other words, there's going to be division. In other words, a division between the flesh and the spirit. You know, it's going to be where people who aren't saved aren't going to like the people who are saved, who know Christ as Savior and Lord. So there's going to be that division. And we can't compromise. And we've got right now, I'm praying it's only a small group, but we have a small group of so-called ministers. I don't know where they get this in the Word, because the Word doesn't say what they're doing is right. You cannot mix darkness with light. You cannot mix evil with good. It's not scripturally sound. It's totally anti-God. It's totally against His Word. If it's totally against His Word as a minister, you can't do it. And God forbid if you're having and leading other people to do it too. This is a sad indictment on the church. That's why there's so many weak and sick. Because they're following man-made rules instead of following God's Word. They're following what the church doctrines and the church organizations are saying, or some famous preacher is saying, or some famous speaker, let's not even call him preacher, but speaker, you know, is saying, and leading the people down the wrong path. And here's the question. Why is these people leading these people down the wrong path? The answer is because they're not in the Word of God. If they were in the Word of God, reading false. It's a lie. It's wolves in sheep's clothing. End of story. This is totally unscriptural. It is totally not of God. Stay away from Chrislam. Chrislam is antichrist. Chrislam is a work of the devil. And I don't care who says, who claims to be some big time speaker. I ain't even gonna call him a minister of the gospel, because to me, that's not a minister of the gospel. That's a person who is in error. He's an error. She's an error. Wrong. And if your leaders, if you go to a place of worship and your leaders are thinking about this, if you want to confront him, confront him. You know, in love. And if this person's serious about doing this, get out of that building. Get out of that fellowship. Leave. Run as fast as you can in another direction. Because it's anti-Christ. Amen? I am so concerned about what's happening with the body of Christ today. I am so concerned that we are not really looking at what is the priority. Here's the thing that I shared with you last night. I'll bring it home again. If we know this world's not our home as Christians, if we know that one day we're going to leave, whether we're going to go in the air or we're going to go by the grave, we're leaving because we're not going to live forever in this fleshly mortal body. We're going to this. If flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, that's what the Bible says. So if we know that, we know that our time upon this earth is short, then shouldn't we, who believe that the eternal home is with the Lord in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God with the holy angels forever, why are we focusing so much on this place? What I'm trying to say is why are we, you know, trying to get more here when we should be trying to do it more for investing for what is coming, eternity? Why don't we spend more time in the Word of God? Why don't we spend more time in prayer unto the Lord? Why don't we weep for the nation, whether it be America or whatever nation you live in, and weep for the lost, the souls? Where's the spiritual mindset at? What's the priority? I believe that's something that we have to really address between ourselves and the Holy Spirit. What is the priority here? What is important? Is it important to see all the baseball games or hockey games or football games or this or that or this and spend all our time watching it on TV or even going to the arena and shouting and jumping up and down when we won't even do that and give that kind appreciation, you know, worship unto the Lord? We'll spend 2 or 3 hours watching somebody dribble a basketball who we don't even know if they're, what kind of lifestyle they're living, but yet we praise them because they can do this and that and this. I'll never forget when I was living in Michigan. I got home from work. I think I got off about 3 o'clock in the morning. I think it was on 3. I'm not really sure. And I missed the hockey team, Detroit Red Wings, winning, you know, the Stanley Cup. But I got to go to the home, and I got to watch the rerun. Came on about 3 o'clock in the morning, or 3:30, something like that. And I stayed up, and I watched it all the way till 5:30. And I watched the Wings win the Stanley Cup. I don't know if it's game 5 or 4, whatever they won it. And it was really something what the Holy Spirit said. It blew my mind. I really, like, what? He said, okay. He said, now that you've spent your 2.5 hours, You know, now it's almost 6 o'clock in the morning, and you've watched your team win the Stanley Cup. My question to you is this. What have they done for you that I haven't done for you? What? It's like, who gives you eternal life? Well, you do. Who blesses you and meets your needs? Well, you do. He said, what have they done for you? They have done nothing for you. I said, it's like the Holy Spirit, like, are you going to get to hold the Stanley Cup? Are they going to let you have the rewards of what they've done? But yet I reward you, you know, for the work for you being faithful and doing what you called to do. And I give you food and I give you air to breathe and I give you everything that you have. I bless you every which way I can. So why are you so focused on this cup when this cup can't do nothing for you? And I like, wow, I got it. I got it. You know, and I'm not saying sports is wrong. No, I'm not saying that at all. No, don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, let's look at the priority here. There's people that are dying that are Christians. There are people dying that aren't Christians. There are people going into hell, you know, every nanosecond because they don't know Jesus Christ. No one's told them the gospel. And the question is, has anybody even prayed for them? But yet we live lifestyles that, well, I serve the Lord, and I've got God, and I go to church Sunday morning, and, you know, I shake the preacher's hand, and I got a Bible. In fact, I got 10 Bibles, and, you know, I pray my prayers and all this stuff, and I'm in. And the rest of the world goes to hell. Makes sense to you? Don't make no sense to me. I don't understand that kind of thinking. But that's because we get caught into it. We've been, like, in a way, trained. The question I have that I would love to ask anyone, what would Jesus do if he was here now? How would he respond? And how would he 3, 5, 7 hours watching TV? Would he, you know, go to the ball games and group, you know, and get baked by the sun for baseball or cheer all the basketball players on? I wonder. What would he be about his father's business, praying and seeking God, his father? And when it was time to minister, he was point on. You know, and he knew exactly what he was to do, and he did it. Of course, he knew all things because he's God. But here's the thing you've got to ask yourself. How much time are we giving to the Lord? How much time are we spending with him? Are we just playing church and going through the motions? Or are we really, really seeking his face? How much time? I don't want to be a part of the group who's in the man-made glass. I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to play church. I get caught. I'm trying my best to get away more and more from television. I got a TV right next to me right now, but it hasn't been on today. And it's not, oh, well, gee, well, isn't that great? No, that's not the point. The point is, what are you doing with the time? And I think, and I really truly believe that we need to be spending more in prayer. And this is where we come back to the pastors and the leaders, those who have these buildings. Open them up. We are in desperate times. America is sinking and sinking fast. The people who are in leadership are blind. They keep taking us down a road that only God can bring recovery, because they sure can't. And we're heading in that direction. You know what's so interesting about the leader that we have in America today? It's the same way, just like we think about Israel. We want a king. We want a king so we can get what we want. We can have, you know, all these goodies coming our way, and all the things that we deserve, you know, and not even looking at, is this person really serving the Lord? Does this person really have Christ-like, you know, not Christ-like, where I'm having a hard time saying it, but you know, are they showing? Let's just say they have Christ likeness. You know, are the fruits there? Do they go according to what the Word of God says on the situations that they are involved in? No, no. But yet, oh, give me the goodies, give me the goodies, 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 goodies. Oh yeah, I'll take that free phone. I'll take this, I'll take that. Oh yeah, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me this. And don't even realize that they're becoming more and more in bondage to who they think they're getting free from. Now, does that make sense to you? Look what Israel did. We want a king. Give us a king, give us a king. God says, I'll give you a king. And he did. And look what happened to the king. And look what happened to all those kings. In the end, it ended. And now, thank God, there's only one king, and he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus Christ. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christo. He is Lord. He is the God of all creation. He is God of all the universe. All power has been given to him in heaven and earth. So what's the priority here? If we know we're leaving, why are we so investing in the things of the world and in the things that are temporal that aren't going to last? Why aren't we investing more and more in the things that are going to last? Eternity. What did Jesus say? You know? How does the scripture go? That if we store things in heaven where rust and moth and thieves can't break in to steal. We don't store them here where they can. We store our treasures in heaven, for where our treasures are, there where our heart beat also. What's the priority? What's the priority? Anyhow, it's something to think about. It's something to pray about. Each and every one of us. But I just want to say that if you know, you've been in that, and you recognize the Holy Spirit convicting you, and letting you realize that you know what you need to you know, quit playing church and quit going through the motions. You know, then it's time to repent and ask forgiveness of sins, and ask God to, you know, change your life around, and take away everything that displeases Him, and give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And to give you a desire to spend time in prayer and reading His Word. And that's not just for people, you know, it's for everybody. It's for me. It's for leaders. It's for pastors. We need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time with the Lord. We need to spend more time with His Word. And if you're come on this station and you realize, or this broadcast, and you realize that, you know what, Tom, this makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I need to turn to Christ. I need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior Lord. Then I will invite you to pray this prayer with me. In fact, you all can pray this prayer with me if you want to. The thing is that we have to ask forgiveness of our sins, including surrender to His love and His will for our lives. And so will you pray this prayer with me and mean with all your heart? Don't play games with God. He knows if you are sincere or not. And all you got to do is say this from your heart and mean it with your heart. And it's a simple, short prayer. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. I don't want to play church. I want to serve you and love you with all my heart. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Simple. But you got to mean it from your heart. You know? And you prayed that prayer, and you were sincere. I want to say to you, welcome to the family of the living God. Now you need to get and read the Bible, pray, and find a place of worship, church, where you can be taught the full, complete will of God and have fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. If you need help or have a question, leave it. You can write me. Let's see, where is that number? At P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. And as I shared before and I'll share it again, we have, I'm on Facebook, not Minister Thomas Miracle, just Thomas Miracle, and I have a picture that says I stand with Israel, and I do. I'm a firm believer that God blesses Israel. And what I was going to say was, is that you can join, you can, you know, ask me to be a friend, and I can, you know, accept you, of course. And there's other ways you can come into one of the groups. We have a group called Native Americans for Christ. You can join that group. And in the storm warning, you can ask to join that group, which is talking about what we're talking now, about the signs of the storm that are coming on America and the world. And then we have also this prayer group that, you know, we started about a month and a half ago. And this is called, this group is, believe, trying to get it right now. Continual prayer for persecuted church, America, the nation, the awakening. So it's continual prayer for the persecuted church, America, and the nations, the awakening. You can leave your prayer request on any of those groups or become part of that group and then leave it there, or you can become my Facebook friend. And you can, you know, share with me what you want to share or leave a prayer request, and we'll get it into those groups and we'll be praying for you. People that are a part of the groups that I'm the senior administrator and lead administrator all over the world. So people will be praying for you everywhere, and they'll be praying and believing God according to his will for what needs to be done, you know, in your life. Anyhow, I just wanted to say that I'm glad that the last broadcast came through. That truly was a blessing. I heard it. The audio needs some work. May need to be spend some money and buy some better microphones to be more clear. But for now, we're going to go with this and believe God is going to be clear enough where people can hear the word, know the word, understand what God's saying and speaking to the body of Christ at this time, and speaking to everyone that they need to repent and turn to him and receive as Savior and Lord. And that's all I have in this broadcast. Like I said, prayer that you pray, you know, and ask for forgiveness. It doesn't have to be a big prayer. It's just going to be a short prayer, but it has to be a prayer from the heart and be sincere. And I hope and pray that what I've shared today makes you understand, or gives you a better understanding, I should say, of, you know, if heaven's our home and eternity is where we're going, then why are we investing so much in this world? And I'm not talking about investing in people. That's the most important thing we need. We need to be spreading the word of God, sharing Christ, letting them see the light of Jesus Christ in our life. I'm talking about, you know, putting more of our time into things that aren't going to last. I know we have to work. I understand that part. But, you know, your workplace is not where you get paid. You are, the Bible says the Lord daily loads us with his benefits. The workplace actually is a place where you witness and share Christ. And I don't mean you go and start preaching to everybody and telling them, repent, Jesus loves you. And if you don't, you know, there's a place where the lake of fire, you know, and all that. No, you set it by your example. You show them Christ by the way you live. You show them Christ in the way when situations and difficulties and things don't go right, you don't go according to what you would normally do. You go according to what the Word of God says. This is how they see that there's something different in you. And this is how they realize, you know what? This person's got something. I think I need to know and find out what he or she's got. And that gives you the opportunity to witness and share Christ. You don't have to be, you know, banging with a Bible and knocking them down all over the place at a workplace or your neighbor. No. You show Christ by your fruits, by your life, the way you live. And as you do that, that life is going to show others, and they're going to say, and that's what has happened with me. And I know what the Lord told me. He said, you won't need to go to them. They're going to come to you. And I thought, what? Oh, Lord, what does that mean? He said, no. It's not about you. When people who are blind in sin, you know, they're looking for the light. When someone's in darkness, they're looking for light. And because you have the light of Christ in you, they're going to be looking for that light. And it made sense to me, and that's what I want to share with you. You are salt and light in this earth, you know, and you don't have to, you know, yell at people and stuff. You know, if God tells you to, well, that's between you and God. But no, you just do it, not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And you do it when things don't go your way, and you show the love of God, and you show the Christ-like way. They're gonna say, you know what? That person is different. I want to know why. And like I said, your workplace is an opportunity for ministry. Well, I'm not called, you know, I'm not an ordained minister. Well, you know what? You're called to be a royal priesthood and an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You're supposed to show Christ, you know, in every area of your life, your workplace, your neighborhood, your shopping center, your store, wherever you go. And like I said, you don't have to say it all the time. You know, you just live it before them. Amen. Well, anyhow, like I said, you know, if you have any prayer requests or you would like to share something with me, you know, you can either do it and send it to the P.O. Box, which is 6261 Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. Or to my Facebook friend, and you can share with me any prayer requests. And like I said, the groups would love to have you join our Storm Warning, Native American for Christ, which is now close to 1,800 people. I think we got close to 1,500 on Storm Warning. And we're just starting out in continued prayer for persecuted church, American nations, the awakening, like I said, and we believe in God to grow. We've seen already mighty moves of God in prayer. One person, the doctors were about to pull the plug and give it up, you know, and say, you know what, this person is pretty close to their life ending. And people started praying and all over the world and believing. And God's anointing and his word went forth mightily. And that person is doing well. Like I said, at death's door. And now all those machines and stuff to keep that person alive aren't there no more. You know, there's still that process, you know, of healing and everything, but they're doing a whole lot better, and that's because of prayer. And that's because the Word of God, brought forth life in that person, and they responded. And then we're just seeing God answered prayer, and it's just such a blessing. So I want to share before I want to pray before I go and broadcast. So let's pray for all those who are sick in body and need healing. Let's plead together, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God who is a great deliverer and a great healer, and nothing is too hard for you. And I pray, Lord God, for the people out there, your children, or those show people who are just hurting and need a touch from you. I just ask right now the healing power would touch them in their bodies and touch them, you know, wherever they're hurting. Lord God, you know where that is at. Father, I ask that you minister to those who are sick in body, those who are in, have diseases, the works of darkness be broken. We break the power of the enemy to Spirit of the Lord, the anointing of God to break all the works of darkness. Let blind eyes open. Let the lame walk, the deaf hear. Bring total deliverance and total victory for those, oh God, that are crying out for you for healing and recovery. Break the chains upon their lives. Give them totally complete deliverance and bring them to a place, you know, Lord God, where they will just want to realize it's the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in our eyes. We break the works of darkness, all attacks of enemy, any way, shape, or form, come against all of God's people. We rebuke every sickness, every spirit of infirmity, and every disease right now in the name of Jesus. We break the chains of darkness, fear, doubt, unbelief, confusion, depression, every spirit that's contrary to the word of God. We take authority of it and we cast it down in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, our time is just about up, and I want to thank you for allowing me to share what's on my heart according to what about the dream and some other areas that I felt that was important. And I just want to leave this with you as we go off the air that people build empires, but God builds people, and he builds it from the inside out. Thank you once again, and I'm glad that we had this time to share and break the word of life together. God bless you all, and until next time, this is Minister Tom Miracle saying, the blessing of the Lord be upon you and all your house. Amen.